Active Kabbalah is a nonprofit organization founded for the distribution of the wisdom of Kabbalah and its values. It serves to support the growing need for a spiritual movement and promotes the self-education of the wisdom of Kabbalah, and therefore empowers the student to achieve his or her life goals. Learning the original principles of this wisdom can reconnect us with the true values of our society, including the belief in the dignity and freedom of man, democracy, and the freedom of speech.
Okay. So Chodesh Tov to everyone. It's the new moon of Nisan, Aries, which is, it's called in the Torah, it's not called Nisan. In the Torah it's called Chodesh Aviv, the month of spring. But if you really look at the words, the Kabbalists say the Chodesh Aviv, Aviv is Av Yudbet, the father of 12. Which means the month of Nisan is the father of 12 months, or the seed of 12 months, or it includes 12 months inside it. And that's very important to understand what's the secret of the month of Nisan. So where is the month of the name Nisan is coming from? Because the word Nisan is not mentioned in the not in the Torah, not in the other books of the prophets. It's not mentioned at all. Only the later books, like Megillat Esther, whatever, the books that were written after the destruction of the first temple, only there you hear the word Nisan. Not just Nisan, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, all the names of the Chodashim. Now, if you go in your academics, they will say these are Babylonian names that the exilers that were exiled by the Babylonians after the destruction of the first temple, about 26 centuries ago, they were exiled to Babylonia, and then they learned the names of the months, and then when they came back to Jerusalem, they brought these names. So the Neischar was a great Tzvi Elimelech of Dino, was a grandson of Rabbi Elimelech Milijansk. He says it's not a contradiction, which means why they brought it, so it's a Babylonian name, so Nisan has no meaning. He says no, you have to remember that during the time of the Tower of Babel, when the language has been mixed up, they all spoke Hebrew. As the language has been mixed up, the names of the months got lost also, like sparks that went into the klipot. When the exilers from Jerusalem came to Babel, they picked the sparks, they picked these names over there that were originally from Hebrew. How do you know? Because you have a Hebrew meaning to each one of them. Nisan, the shoresh, the source of the word Nisan is Nes, a miracle. It's a month of miracles. What miracles? Exodus, splitting the Red Sea, enough miracles, right? So this is a month of great miracles. And especially the whole definition of what miracle is about. So two names, whatever, it's all starting with this month. So Nisan is a month of miracles. Now, but what is the essence? Why is it called the father of 12 months? And it's also, why is it that in the Hebrew calendar, if you look at of the five books of Moses, Nisan is considered to be the first month? Although, when is the year beginning? The year is beginning, you know, most people, you know, most people who observe the Bible, the year is beginning in Tishrei, right? But the Torah doesn't say about Tishrei that it's the first month. The Torah always calls Tishrei the seventh month. The first month is always Nisan. Always Nisan. So why Nisan is the first month and Tishrei, like, it's like, is there an argument where it's starting? Yes, there is an argument. In the Talmud, Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Elazar, they argue, was the world created on Tishrei, or was it created on Nisan? And they prove that it was created on Tishrei. They prove that it was created on Tishrei because the first word in Bereshit, The first word is Bereshit. Bereshit is the same letters as Aleph B'Tishrei, the first of Tishrei, which means when was the world created? On what month? Tishrei, because Bereshit is Aleph B'Tishrei, the same letters. But then the sages are saying, yes, that's correct, but when we counting the year, we counting according to the stars and the sun. When was that created? That was created on the fourth day. Correct? What was the date of the fourth day of the creation? What? What was the date of the fourth? If the first day of the creation was Aleph in Tishrei, the number one in Tishrei, the first of Tishrei, what was the date of the fourth day of the year? The first day of the fourth day of the creation. What? The fourth of? It sounds logical, no. But Vladimir was saying that he was right. Fourth of Nisan. No doubt that the sun and the moon and the stars have been created on the fourth of Nisan. It was the fourth day, but the fourth day was not fourth of Tishrei, the fourth day was the fourth of Nisan. So how long did it take from the first day of the creation till the fourth day? How long did it take?
6 months.
What?
6 months.
Did it take 4 days? Did it take 6 months and 4 days? Did it take 6 billion and 4 days? Did it take 20 billion and 4 days? Doesn't matter. What we're talking about, you have to remember that the time, the way we know, if we know uncertainty principle, what is uncertainty principle as physics says? That whatever you see in physics exists only when there's somebody that can perceive that it exists. How long is there a human brain that can perceive time the way we know? How long? 57, 68, and 6 months. That's exactly how long does it exist. When was the sun and the moon created? Before that. Which means, how long did it take between the first day of the creation and the fourth day of the creation? A modern physicist will say, because there's no human mind to perceive it, it has no meaning. That's a modern physicist who really follows religiously physics. Time has no meaning as long as there's no human mind to perceive time. And also, physicists don't believe that much that time exists. They believe that time exists only in our imagination. There's no proof that time exists in physics. There's not really a proof. There are a lot of modern books that the last few years that were published about that. It's amazing to read by physicists. But there's a connection between the way we perceive time and the way time goes. Okay? So why the Torah has to tell us that the creation was on the first, on Bereshit, on Tishrei, and the fourth day has to happen on Nisan? Just to tell us it's the energy, the special energy, that the energy of the solar system belongs, and the calendar belongs to Nisan. The energy of life, the life of the universe, belongs to Tishrei. When we pray on Tishrei between the 1st and the 10th of Tishrei, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we pray for, what do we pray for? For life, because that's the energy, the essence of life for the whole year. When it comes to Nisan, it's another story. Totally different story. So what's the story? So we know that between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, we have a job. We have really to fight to draw as much life as possible. And that's the whole prayer about life. Who is to live, who is to die, who is by fire, who by stone, whatever. All of this stuff that belongs between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It belongs to Tishrei. Okay? And Tishrei, it's more like coming from our point of view. There's a lot of action from our side. How do you know that? If you look at Tishrei, the letters of the word Tishrei is Taf, Shin, Reish. Whoever knows the Hebrew alphabet backwards. Taf is the last letter, Shin is the second from the end, Reish is the third from the end. Taf, Shin, Reish. If you go to this month, the month of Nisan, the biblical name is Chodesh Ha Aviv. Aviv is Aleph Bet. Right? So, which means it's like, why in Nisan is from Alevet, and Tishrei is from Taf Shin Reish. This goes from beginning to the end, it goes from the end to the beginning. Everybody follows the question. Everybody understands that it's set as this way. When it goes Aleph Bet, give me Aleph Bet order, it shows us, if you know the language of Kabbalah, it shows what is called direct light. It's a light that is coming upwards. It's called a male energy. It's male energy. What does it mean, male energy? Well, it's like rain is male energy. Why? It comes from above. You have to send there and it will come. You don't have to do anything for that to come down at you. Which means that's come from God. It comes from God, it comes from above, it comes naturally. When it tafshin reish, it's backwards. Backwards is called returning light. That's a female energy. Female energy is something that goes from below above. When you want to go from below above, you have to put a lot of effort. This is the energy of life that you have to create when you want, and that will determine your life. It's how much you walk. How much light does God give us? Endless, each one of us. No discrimination. If the person is young or old, if he's stupid or wise, if he's like greedy or righteous or happy or miserable, doesn't matter, male and female, doesn't matter. From the point of view of the Creator, which is a male energy, comes to everyone the same. How much do we get? Depends on what we do. And that's not easy. How do you know? Because the same way to launch a spaceship from below to above, it takes a lot of energy. Everybody knows to get a business done, you have to put a lot of energy. How do you say it's it's like to raise a building from the ground. That's how you say it in English? You have to raise it from the ground. What does it mean to raise it from the ground? If you don't put the energy, the materials won't get up 300-400 stories. It won't. You need to put a lot of energy. The same thing. If you want to have a successful life, you have to put the energy from the bottom to the top. You have to lift and lift and lift and lift the energy up. And that's tafshin reish. Sustenance and life, that's a story. From the bottom up, that's Tishrei. In Nisan, we get light for free. It's almost nothing. Effort to get all what is ready for us in Nisan. That's another reason why it's called Nisan. It's a miracle. The miracles are very, it's very easy to buy miracles on Nisan. It's like, oh, they're almost for free. You pay later. You know, like these stores that buy now, pay later. Nisan, you buy now, you pay later. And we're learning, you know, after Pesach, you have 49 payments to pay for what you get for free in the first 2 weeks of Nisan. Yes, in payments. Right? So what is that we get on Nisan? On Nisan, Sefer Yetzirah is asking, why, how do we know that when the sun was created and the solar system on the fourth day, it was Nisan and not Tishrei? The energy of the sun, one of the names of the sun in Hebrew is Chama, which means hot. What's the nature of something hot? It goes up, right? Hot air goes up. So we know that immediately after the creation of the sun, it went up. So it became summer. After Tishrei, it became winter. Because after the fall, it becomes colder. The sun is fire. The moment it was created, it started to go up. So you know immediately that from the sun it started to go up, so it has to be that the creation of the sun was on the energy. We're not talking about how long in human time did it take from the creation of the Reshit till the creation of the sun. There was no human mind with a human mentality, and human limitation. There was no human mind to disturb it at that time. So you can't measure it. It can take billions, it can take a second. It has no meaning. Okay? It's a long, you know, some people it takes a long time till you get the whole thing. The time is irrelevant to human brain. So the sun has been created on Nisan. How do we know? It immediately started to get warmer. So you know it's Nisan. Okay? That's on the outside. But we know that the energy is going higher the first 6 months of the Hebrew year from studying from Nisan. Why? Because it's called also, the Ari calls it the male months. And we know the energy in these 6 months is much more intense than the energy in the months of the fall and winter. Even the month of Tishrei, it's the seventh month. What is the seventh? Malchut. It's a manifestation of the first six. So all the energy in Tishrei is a manifestation of the month before. After Tishrei, the energy goes down. No holidays. From Tishrei all the way to Nisan, no holidays. Only Chukat Purim that were man-made, again, Tafshin Reish, from the bottom up, was man-made by men creating new creation in the universe, exactly the time, from above, nothing comes during this month. It's clear? So, go back to the secret of Nisan. Nisan is also Mazal Taleh, the sign of Aries. Aries is the lamp, and what is Taleh? We have like two forces that is controlling Nisan. One is Taleh, the lamb, the Aries. But it's more Aries in Latin means the ram. In Hebrew it's not a ram, it's a lamb. It's a lamb. Taleh means a lamb. Ram is keves or aigle. Taleh is a lamb. And there's a big difference between the two. A lamb, Taleh. What's the power of Taleh? You have to see it together with the power of the month, of the planet. Because every month, the two forces that, the combination of these two forces create the energy of that month. So we have on one hand, Taleh, which is the sign, Aries. And we have the planet, which is Mars. Or in Hebrew, Ma'adim. Okay? Now, first of all, what's in common with these two? Taleh, the energy of Taleh is, we know also that Taleh is the epitome of selfishness. Because it's a baby. It's a child. And you know that babies and children, what do they think about? Just about themselves. Yeah, I always say it's like if they were not so cute, people would kill them. Right? It's like they made evolutionary wise very cute. Otherwise, you know, if a grown up behaves this way, you just throw him out of the house. And also, if you look at the child, he's manic depressive because he's so selfish. One moment he's happy, the second moment, the next moment, he's miserable and depression like the whole world fell apart. A grown up behaving like this way has to be sent to an institute, right? Or get a heavy dosage. But they get very happy. And within a minute, they're miserable like the whole world fell apart. Why? This is exactly how does that happen? When a person behaves in a childish way, that's how they behave. No control. I want and I want it now because I want it and no other reason. And that's why we know about people who are kind of Aries. They're very much self-centered. They're very much like kids, which means they get excited very easily about everything. They have energy, like they go like crazy. They can work, do, for them it's not work, it's play. They play and they play and they play and they play, and like kids, they're just 1 second they will drop and go to sleep for a few hours, they get up and start all over again. And that's the same thing with Aries. Only Aries can call you like early in the morning, like what's doing, I have an idea, whatever. You know, I know a few many Aries is like this. But you know, everybody's asleep. No, he's not asleep. It's like they might lose something. They don't want to sleep. They might lose something, like babies. Babies never want to go to sleep. Maybe there's one more thing that is happening they might lose or miss. Right? So that's about people Aries. The Aries is also connected to the part of the body which is the brain, which is the head. And we know that inside the brain there's no sense. There's no sense. You can't feel inside the brain. If you just do an operation on the brain inside, there's no way to sense pain inside, only from the outside. That's why Aries that don't have sensibility or sensitivity towards other people, it's like they're totally tactless. And so, but like kids, how come they are surviving in society? They're charming. They're like kids. They're so charming, they're so nice, they're so kind, they're so giving, they're so sharing, they're so happy. So people love them. Because like it's amazing to have Aries friends around. You know, so you pay, you know, you're willing to pay all the insensitivity just to get all the happiness and the excitement that is going around them. Where is this coming from? Because there are a few ways to check the energy of the sign. First is the name itself. Second is the letter, the Hebrew letter, that according to Abraham in Sefer Yetzirah, created that sign. So the letter for the month of Aries is the letter Hey, which is, if you know Kabbalah, you understand that the letter Hey is the symbol of the vessel, Malchut. You're talking about the name of God, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the last Hey, which is Malchut, which is the desire, which is, how do you know? You look at the Hey, how it's structured, how you write in the Torah Hey, you write the Daled, and the Yud inside, which is the Daled is the vessel, as we're going to see later on. The Yud inside is the fulfillment of that vessel, which means again, the Hey is I want, me, I need, my desires, my needs. That's where everything is going around. That's the letter Hey. Tale. If you go about the name Tale, there's a lot of study about it that we're going to go by steps. Tale is in numerical value 44, which is Dam, blood. What is blood? Ki Adam hu ha-nefesh. The blood is the nefesh, which the nefesh is the lower desires of the human beings. Blood. That's why, according to the kosher laws, why you don't eat the blood of the animal? Because you don't want the lowest desires and survival of the animal, you don't want it to consume it yourself, because you have enough trouble with your own. Right? Because, you know, if you have dogs and you want them to be vicious, what do you give them? Meat with blood. Right? If you want them to be more soft and relaxed and less violent, you give them cooked meat without blood. Blood makes you more beastly. And whoever knew, like whoever saw Dancing with Wolves. And the test to become a real hunter is to get the buffalo, and to, when the buffalo is still alive, to get out the liver and to eat it when it's still, when the heart is still pumping. Why? Because you want to get the forces of life of the buffalo. If you want to be a buffalo, strong as a buffalo, right? Strong as a buffalo, you know, all the, you know, but according to the Bible, you're not supposed to be a buffalo, you're supposed to be connected, you're supposed to achieve cleaving to the light and not to buffaloes. Okay? That's why, you, according to the Torah, you're not supposed to eat blood, because you're not supposed to be a buffalo or a puma or a cheetah, whatever, these energy you live with them, or a chicken. Yeah, you want to eat the blood of the chicken, then you know, there's some God-smoking chickens, roosters, right, have a lot of guts also, right? So there's a lot in that, in the word blood, but blood also is about bloodiness. And you know that Aries are, they like blood, which means it could be hunters, surgeons, you know, the lot of stuff that is going with blood that Aries are good with. But that goes also, oh, it could be also like soldiers, mercenaries. That goes also with the planet, because the planet is Mars, and Mars is the planet of war. Ma'adim, the name in Hebrew, comes from the Hebrew word Adom, red. You can find inside the word Ma'adim also blood. And it's called the blood, it's a red planet or the blood planet. Everybody knows a little bit. Astrology knows when Mars comes into the picture, everything becomes bloody. People become, they want to see blood. People become very combative. It's everything becomes very like into a fight. That's the energy of Mars. You become a Martian when Mars is coming into the picture. You understand? That's why at the moment the month of Aries is starting today, people around you, including yourself, start to find yourself getting into your blood, a little bit kind of boiling blood. It's going to be like, it's becoming more bloody. People get much easier. They're becoming upset, combative, fighting, looking for wars, We had 2 months of Pisces. People rested for 2 months, relatively. Now it's Aries full gas. Yeah, but it's the competition, because it's the competition in, you know, some people want to achieve money to feel safe. Some people want to achieve money because of the fun of the fight and the gambling. It's a different, totally different character. Okay? So that's about Aries and the man and the planet. The planet is Mars. Mars has the energy of the letter Dalet, creator of the letter Dalet. Dalet, the same as Hey, but without the Yud inside. Which means it's like, if you can picture the Dalet, it's like the Dalet itself is standing on a leg, and there's another roof to it, and inside it's totally empty. The Hey has a whole letter inside, the Yud, that is 10 sfirot of light. Can you imagine all the 10 sfirot are being sucked out of the Hey, and you're left with the Dalet? Dalet in Hebrew means poverty. Poverty, dalut. Poverty, which means, who goes for war? Hungry people. People with bellies are full, don't go for war. They want to stay home and rest and have fun, watch TV, play games, whatever. They want. People who have a lot to lose don't want to go to fight for war. Who wants to fight? The ones who are hungry. That's why Mars keeps you hungry, keeps you ambitious, keeps you, if you have a lot of planets in Mars, these are very hungry people. It's a fight, it's a war. They're always, it's never enough, never enough. They are the go-getters. Of course, if you have a lot of Mars, a lot of planets in Aries, oh, that's a... There's a lot of stuff next to Mars, a lot of planets next to Mars. That's a lot of hunger. Now, when you put these two together, it means a lot of fight. And because it's Av Yud Bet, father of 12, it's a code for us that there's something that happens in Aries that affects the rest of the year. And the Kabbalists explain that the same way when the month of Tishrei is starting, there are ten crucial days from Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur, 10 crucial days. That in during these 10 days, the Creator gives every living thing life and sustenance for the next year. Now, if you're blocking it, you get a little bit. The more you block it, the less you get. Which means, what the work to do on the first 10 days of Tishrei is like open up as much as possible, because the more you open you are, the more light and sustenance and life you get for the rest of the year. So we know that it affects a person's sustenance, life, health, whatever, on the first days of Tishrei. But in Nisan, I'm sure that most people know something about Judaism, know that. How do you know that? Because you can see synagogues all over the world that are totally empty the whole year round. Suddenly, Rosh Hashanah is coming, everybody is running to synagogue like crazy. They have to go. They have to do this. Like, the place is packed. People are standing outside on the street because there's no space inside. Right? What happened? Everybody fears and knows that he has to fight for his life. Comes Nisan, it's a different story. It's like, somehow people feel that it's coming anyway. And you know what? It's coming anyway. What's coming anyway? The same way that a human's life is being determined, life, sustenance, whatever, health, first 10 days of Tishrei, there's another thing that is happening exactly the same way in the first 13 days of Nisan. More correct, the first 15 days of Nisan. What's happening? The Kabbalists teach us that on the first day of Nisan, today, according to the person's actions, his movie, for the next month is being determined, whatever is connected to wars. That could be in a global scale. What about the war between the West and the East and the South and the rich and the poor, whatever? All the big wars, the global wars, that's being determined for the first month, the month of Aries, today. Also between two nations. Also between two companies. Also between groups, little groups of people, between one person to another. Also the fights and the wars and the battles inside the person himself. That's being determined every day of Nisan to the day, to the month corresponding to it. Which means, on the first of Nisan, it's for Aries. The second of Nisan, it's for Taurus. Third of Nisan, Gemini. The fourth, for Cancer. The fifth, Leo, whatever. It goes for like this for 12. If there are 13 months, like last year that was a leap year, 13 days. And then, what's important is, that happens automatically. It happens like Aleph Bet, it comes from above, it happens automatically. We can do some stuff in order to work on it. Which is, there's a special reading from the Torah every one of these days from Parashat Nassau about the chieftains of the tribes. It takes about 20 seconds to do this reading. Not that much of effort. And I don't think that people will believe that reading that will get the whole month fixed just by it. Although some people think so. Although the previous years, if they did it, it didn't work anyway. What really is important is, all of this is like the movie, like everybody knows it, life or death, whatever, it's considered from Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur, but the moment of Tfilat Ne'ilah, the last hour of Yom Kippur, that's when everything is being sealed, finalized for the rest of the year. Ne'ilah. Same thing over here. When is Ne'ilah of the wars of Nisan? That's the night of the full moon, which is called the night of what is that night? Seder. Seder means in Hebrew order. What's the opposite word to order? Chaos. Very simple. That's why it's called order. The night of order. Which means, if the wars are being determined in the first 12, 13 days of Nisan, all the chaos a human being is going to experience within the rest of the year is determined cosmically. It's coming itself. It's like you can't do anything about it. Just you can read here, you can work on yourself, you can prepare yourself. It's the whole thing about people feel the need to clean the chametz before Pesach. It's cleaning the ego, working on yourself, eliminating the ego, improving yourself. All of that. And it's tough because, you know, people get really nervous in the first 2 weeks of Nisan. This is a real good time to work on finding where is your little egos and working on it. But the final thing is the night of the Seder, which means the night of order. And that night is when we can draw the energy, a miracle energy. Because it's for free. What do you have to do in order to get the energy of the night of the Seder? What do you have to do? You have to eat matzah, maror, bitter herbs, some lettuce, some eggs, whatever, all kinds of little, some parsley, mixture of fruits, read some stuff, and what do you get? You get the most enormous energy that ever entered the universe, ever in history of mankind, and that can set you free from all the fights and the wars. Does that look like it's a fair, the amount of work is really relative to the amount of reward. Nothing. Oh, you have to clean your house for Passover. Which some people can say it's like, it's a pretty, pretty bloody thing because, if you really do the job, your hands are bleeding, can't see anything anymore. It's really bloody month. Especially for the housewives who are cleaning the house. But whoever gets serious about it, but still, it's not enough to get total freedom because, how Passover is being called? The holiday of freedom. So you want to tell me if I eat few matzot and read the Haggadah I get freedom? You know what the Kabbalists are saying, what the Zohar is saying? Yes. You're going to get freedom. The energy is available. Somebody already revealed it. And he can draw in the energy of freedom, and because there's no price for freedom, you can work for it. What you need to do, like Rav Ashlag is asking, how come, you know, it says the reward for a person's real work, hard work, spiritual work, is to get the endless. And Rav Ashlag is saying, so how many years of hard work do you have to invest in order to earn the endless? 70 years is not enough, right? So what about two lifetimes? 140 years of hard work. You know, you retire, you child in the beginning. Let's say you have 70 years of everyday hard work. Okay? Is it fair to get endless for 70 years of hard work? No comparison. It's like, he says, like, somebody comes to you, he says, like, you know, can you help me and lift up this bag? And you lift up the bag like 3 pounds. You give it to him. He says, oh, I really appreciate your work. Here's $1 million check. How do you feel?
Very lucky.
Okay. You feel either lucky, you feel shame that you didn't work for it. It's like $1 million for lifting it, you know, 3 pounds. The same thing, getting the endless for 70 years of hard work, no matter how much you suffer, it's nothing relatively to receiving the endless. So what about 2 lifetimes? 3 lifetimes? 10 lifetimes? It will never be equivalent to the reward. So Rav Ashlag said, for the ones who think that being miserable and working hard and sweating and suffering and putting a lot of effort and thinking that you're really working so hard because you're so miserable, you earn Olam Haba, the world come with that? Nonsense. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. The only way you can earn the endless is when you transform your desire to receive for the self alone, the Eris within you, into desire to receive for the sake of sharing. That's the only way, because in that moment, that can take, the sages are saying that, he says, can take for somebody, there was a guy, great Talmudic scholar, he passed away in the age of 25, his name was Rabbi Boon. And they said in his, when he passed away, he was a new soul. It was his first lifetime. And the real work starts when you're 20. In 5 years, he finished the whole thing. The whole thing. He became compatible to the light, and he got the endless. How long did he work for it? 5 years. 5 years. Same time that people work for 10, 20, 30 lifetimes, still don't get it. They still think they have to be really miserable to get the world to come. You know the joke about this guy that came to heaven, and the angel says, like, hey, excuse me, like, who are you? He says, hey, my name is so and so. The angel says, you're not on the list. So the guy said, but you know, there must be a mistake because I'm going to heaven. So the angel said, like, well, what do you mean? Like, why do you think you were supposed to go to heaven? They said so in the funeral. Oh, they said in the funeral, yes. Oh, what did they say in the funeral? They said in the eulogy that I suffered so much, I'm still going right to heaven. So they just said, oh, you didn't get the whole thing. And they didn't get it either. You don't go to heaven for suffering. You go to heaven only when you learn to feel heaven on earth. Then you're ready to come over here. If you suffered a lot over here, it means you didn't get the point. You didn't get the message. You have a lot of work to do. You go. You're getting the first ticket to go back. Because you have to start learning how to live. Know how to live, then you can come over here. Okay? Go back. So that's a lot of people still, because of all kinds of religious beliefs, feel that, you know, you have to be really suffering in order to go to get reward. And Rav Ashlag says, no. You just need to do one small thing. Transform your selfish nature, which all of us have, and transfer into desire. It's nothing wrong about being selfish. What's wrong is to become the end station. That you can be selfish about everything, but make sure that everything you get, somebody else enjoys it too. As long as you do that, you're totally compatible with the endless, and you can go to the endless and have everything, everything. The pleasure from everything you can imagine, you can get over there, no problem, as long and you don't hold it to yourself. So the Kabbalists are saying the difference between Ratzon and Tzinor. Ratzon means I want, I desire. Tzinor is the same letters, but it means a pipe. What's the difference between a vessel, Ratzon, and a pipe? The vessel has a hole in the bottom. Whatever comes in goes out. How much can that pipe hold? Endless. No limitation. How much a closed vessel has? Yeah, as much as it, relatively to the endless, it will always be nothing. Always be nothing. No matter how big is the cup, the bowl, the bucket, it will always nothing relatively to the endless. So as long as a person can have like huge desires, he thinks, as long as it's just me, and I don't want to share it with anybody else, it is always nothing, and that's why he will always stay dalit, always stay hungry and miserable. So what the only way to do is to transform it. And you know, always it says that kadam refuah lamakah, the medication is always there, where the remedy is always there, where the disease is. If you look at the structure of the year, the year is divided to 12 months. Why? Because it's four seasons. Why four seasons? Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. The four letters of the Tetragrammaton. Four elements. Every season is divided to three signs. Why three signs? Plus, minus, central column, which is right, left, central column, which is every light bulb has plus, minus, and a filament. Right? Always the first month in every season is the plus. So Aries is the first in the month of Aviv, in the spring, so it is plus. But second, we said that it is minus. It is fire, it's a fire sign, it's in blood. Aries, it's the planet of Mars. Yes, the remedy is always next to the disease. Aries have the energy of sharing, built in. But just what they have to do is to take the fire on one side, and to connect it to the water which they have on the other side. Aries love to share. They love to share. What's the problem every time they share? They're expecting something in return. Like most of us. Right? All of us. But if they just can turn every time they receive to make it into sharing without holding on to it, they're perfect. They just have to, it's just like a switch that has to be done. How do you know that? Look at the word Taleh. Taleh is inside the letter hey of the sign. The moment you control the hey of the sign, the desire to receive, how do you do it? On the night of Pesach, the Rish says that you have three matzot on the Seder plate, right? Each one of them is a symbol representing the letter, which letter? Hey. And that, why three? Because there are three ways to write hey. You can write it as a Dalet and a Yud inside, that's one matzah. You can write it as a Dalet and a Vav inside. It's also kosher to write it this way. That's the second matzah. The third matzah is Vav, Vav, and Vav. Three Vavs. There are three ways to write hay. Each matzah is another one of them. When we, on the night of the Seder, use the matzah and we make the consciousness and we control the letter hay, take the word Taleh and take out the hay, what is left?
Tal.
Tal means?
Dew.
Dew, you know the dew on the grass? It's water. And the morning after, we do the blessing of Tal. That is to control, to have bliss of water for the rest, for the next 6 months. What a coincidence. Birkata Tal, the blessing of Tal, when it's a month of Taleh, and you just control the hay, and Tal is water, and water is what column?
Right.
Right column energy, which means we turn it from fire sign to a water sign. That's why I notice many times that people who are born on the day 15 of Nisan, of Pesach, they behave like a water sign, not like fire sign. Because Pesach is the energy of water. It's not the energy of fire. It's already clean. You know, if
you use a lot of water to clean the house.
Yeah, but you know, most people clean only the house, but they don't clean the heart. In the heart is still fire of I hate, I'm angry, whatever. If you don't clean that fire, then it won't help. You can't connect to the Tal in the morning after. Tal also is a magical word according to the Kabbalists, because Tal numerical value is 39. 39 is a lot, but 39 can just about Tal you can learn a whole hour for beginners. For advanced, it's more than that. The essence of resurrection of the dead is called Tal. The essence of life that you get, that Malchut is getting from above, which is also 39, it's Yud Kei Vav, in Milui Shel Alefin, that's also the energy of Tal, which is the life that Malchut is receiving from Ze'an Pin. All of these codes, but it's all of the stuff that we... It's all around the word Tal.
Malchut.
There's also Tal Melchot 39. I said it's an hour, and we won't go in there. But it's a magic that you just control the hay. You control the desire to receive, and that's what we have to do 2 weeks till the night of the Seder. Just to have some cleansing of the chametz. What is chametz? It's not just the physical dirt. It's all the leaven. The chametz is the selfishness inside, which is kind of pure stupidity to understand Kabbalah. Pure stupidity, and it's like, that's why the sages says, "An Adam chotel im kafzal avuach sheshtut." When a person sins, it's just because he became stupid for a moment. Because you have to be really a fool to be selfish. If you really learn and understand the wisdom of the creation, you know that being selfish is very purely so stupid. If you're really selfish and you really want a lot, you have to share. Why? Because, you know, that's how it works. The same way, you want water to come out of the tap. If you stand in front of the tap and wait, it won't come. If you cry, it won't come. If you beg, it won't come. If you get angry, it won't come. You just have to open the tap. Right? You have to do that. Not no emotions in thought. That's the way. These are the rules. You want the flow of water to come, you have to open the tap. You want the flow of bliss to come into your life, which is called Tal, you have to open the tap. Whatever you have in the pipes, it's stuck and getting stale if it stays there. You have to open the pipe that's opening and let it flow. How much water and how much bliss you can get, just allow it to flow. Every time you want something, think about, okay, now how do I share it with somebody? And then you say in the beginning, you do it just for yourself, and later on you get used to it and fake it till you make it, and finally it's going to be. And that's why it says mitoch shelo lishma yavo lishma. In the beginning you do it just because you think so, and after a while you'll realize that that's the way it works. That's opening the tap. So also you take Ma'adim, you look at the word of Ma'adim, which is Mars. If you change the order of the letters, you get Edmaim, mist. Mist, which is do, right? Edmaim is mist. It's do. Again, water. So, inside, the red, the fight, whatever of Aries, there's also a lot of sharing and giving. That's why it's amazing to have Aries friends. You need somebody. You're stuck in the middle of the road, in the middle of the night. You need somebody to come and get you from there. An Aries friend, for sure, he won't mind. He's probably not asleep, he's doing something in the middle of the night. He's like, there's an adventure you can invite him to. It's great to have Aries friends. Right? So that's what you have always, the remedy next to the problem, the disease. So, there's a lot of stuff that you can talk about Aries, about the sign, but majorly this month we have to be really careful about our desire to receive for the self alone. And that's why we have, usually in order to make it happen, we need to do something on the physical level. That's why the preparation for Passover, for instance. Think about it, most of the month in the Hebrew calendar, the first 2 weeks, you have to be looking for the chametz in order to remove it, connect to it, cleanse it, get it out of your way, out of your house, so when Passover is coming, you can take off and really connect to the control, the matzah, control the hay, and get all of this bliss. 7 days coming after, you have to be careful not to connect to the chametz, because you're only eating matzah, right? Still watching not to be connected to that. And the seventh day, you have a miracle, the miracle of spitting off the red sea, which is water, right? Again, a miracle and water connecting. Then you have a few days left which is like 7 days left, that are not directly with it, but it's already working of the counting of the Omer and cleansing towards, now you got it for free, now you have to work for it. So that's somehow covering the energy of the month of Nisan, and the month of getting the power of creating miracles, which is awesome. Awesome. There's a lot of, it's like, this is the Bnei Yisachar, he has a lot of Nisan, it's like crazy. What he's saying, he says, Avayel lecha od Nisan Hashem Nes. And then he gives like a whole bunch of, and he says Nisan in numerical value is twice Pei. Pei is the mouth. Okay, why is the mouth important? Because when you say the Haggadah, it's Pesach. What the Kabbalists are saying, what is Pesach? No, Pei. Pei, the mouth. Sach speaks. The mouth speaks. Okay? But what is Sach? Sach is, in Hebrew, is Samech, is Sin Chet. Why Samech Chet? Sach, Samech Chet is 68. 68 is life. That when you say the Haggadah on the night of Pesach, you bring in the energy of freedom, the energy of life for the rest of the year.
Then you become Chacham.
Then you become, oh, you have the whole thing about the sons, the four sons, but that's, we spoke about it on Shabbat.
The Chacham is also 68.
And Chacham is also 68. It's like, it's so much into it, it's like, and the energy is twice pay. Why twice pay? So he's saying, first of all, there is the pe of that open up, the mouth that open up in the Exodus, and it's connected to Pesach. And the second is going to be the same energy of the final redemption that appears. So it's twice. Both are in Pesach because we can, on the night of Pesach, we can experience. If we really connect to the night, to the energy of Pesach, we can experience for that night the feeling and the energy of the total redemption. So that's why it's double. The energy of redemption of Pesach of 34 centuries ago, and the energy of the coming one, both in the same time. And he's saying also, it's like questions. Anybody has questions? Yes. Okay. Why is Aries the father of all 12 signs, and it's also the lamb, which is the baby, the child, the son, right? That's why we're talking about the son all the time. And we spoke about it on Shabbat, that being a son, the Zohar speaks about being a son, is because every human being is a child of God. He's a direct emanation from God. He's like the child of God. When you remove all the negativities, you realize you're God's child. Then you love God, and then you do everything because it's your father, it's your dad, right? So we have like your dad, so everything is your dad. You know, the expression in Hebrew, I don't know if in English, it's like you're somewhere in a working place, or, you know, a government business dealing or whatever, and then there's some problem over there, and you say, oh, we have to fix it. And people say, why, it's your father's? It's your dad's. Why are you so worried about it? And the answer, yes, it's my dad's, it's God's. Everything belongs to God. So there's a person, they're like, oh, it's not my father's, who cares? And the person cares about everything, because everything belongs to him. Right? That's one thing. The other thing, when you use the word, it's the father of 12 months, you're not talking about the father as a father and child, but you're talking about as the, because the father contains all the children in potential. Right? Because in the semen of the father, you have all the optional DNA combination that will become his children. So the father is the cause, and the cause includes all the effects. So when he's saying the father of 12 sons, it means it's the cause, that the cause contains all the effects, which means whatever happens in his son will determine, which means, let's say today, all the fights and wars that are going to happen in the world in the coming month, it's determined today, right now as we speak. Tomorrow, if there is going to be a war between two countries during the month of Taurus, it's going to be determined tomorrow. If a person is going to have a fight, a quarrel in himself between two aspects of his personality during the month of Taurus, it's going to be determined tomorrow. So that's why it's called the father of 12, because this is the cause of all 12. Whatever happens here, it's already happened. There were Kabbalists who could meditate every day of the 12 days of the sun and say what's going to happen in politics, in world politics, in that month corresponds to that day. It's happening right now. But it's like Aleph Bet, it's coming from above, nothing you can do about it. Hey, the major thing is to prepare yourself for the night of the Seder. And then you just have to open up. For one night, just to open up. Allow it in, you'll pay later. 49 days. That every day is by increments of 49 payments, and then you can get, if you really work for it, 15 days, you can really get freedom. Now you work for it. But there's a Kabbalists are saying, how can you work for something you never tasted? And that's why on the night of Pesach, you can taste the taste of freedom. That it's worthwhile. And I noticed every time in the beginning we started to do the Seder in the Kabbalistic way, and we realized, you know, everybody was tired preparing for Pesach, coming all the way. And until we finish the Seder in the beginning, when you finish the Seder like 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. And it was, and then you just finish and we sing, L'shana Abba B'nei Choin, next year we'll be free. And then suddenly people start to dance like crazy and sing. Nobody wants to go to sleep. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning. It's supposed to be in a regular night, 5 o'clock in the morning, it's supposed to be finished. And then I read the Talmudic descriptions, and they say that also in the temple in Jerusalem, people will come by foot all the way from the Galilee, from Syria, from Lebanon, from Egypt. They will walk and just arrive to the gates of Jerusalem just a few hours before the holiday is starting. They were celebrating, they were finished walking all the way, or riding a donkey, which is easier, right? But the moment they finish the Seder meal, they will all go and dance on the roofs of Jerusalem. Can you imagine? There could be a million people coming to celebrate Pesach together in Jerusalem. Can you imagine a million people dancing on the roofs, the rooftops of Jerusalem, and singing, and nobody could go to sleep? Because that energy of life that is coming in that night is the energy of life, it's the energy of peace, it's the energy of prophecy. Whoever knows the meaning of the word Chaya, or Chaim, or Chokhmah, that is the highest level of revelation of energy that ever comes to this world, and it comes fast. Usually all the holidays, it takes time till the energy comes in. That's why when it says in the Haggadah, or in the Torah, that everything had to be fast, it's not about being fast. They got out of Egypt only the next morning. So why did they have to eat on the sunset to eat fast? Because it's to show that this is the only time that the energy comes. So much energy in an instance. That's why it's the only night of the year that you say Hallel. Because the energy comes in an instance. It's coming, and within as nightfall of Pesach, you can already start drawing that energy. And by midnight, it's complete already. You can continue drawing it. But that when you do that connection, and you really connect to it, you feel like Mashiach has come. So, who wants to go to sleep? You want to dance on the rooftops. More questions? No, it's a very old custom to go to grave sites of, the Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but also the whole first 2 weeks, but especially because always before great holidays, you get help from the tzaddikim, because we usually need the help of the tzaddikim, because we are so mundane most of the time. You need the help of higher souls to help us to achieve. That's why we say all the time, one soul with all the tzaddikim, because I can't count on myself that I can do it. I don't have enough programs in my brain to be able to break all the codes of negativity and selfishness and chaos. I need, you know, the help. You always need the help of somebody who already did it. And that's why to emphasize that you need the help of other higher souls that already finished the job to help you. That's why it's very important to go to. It's very common, especially in Jerusalem. There are like the road, the traffic, the cemeteries.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable today. It's like you can spend hours on traffic. on the way to the cemetery. But yeah. Any more questions?
The work we're doing in Elul versus these 2 weeks.
Look, the work is always the same. Cleansing. It's always cleansing because, like, anger is fire and jealousy is fire. It's all coming from pride and negativity. It's all working on our reactive system. The cosmic energy is different. The cosmic energy is different, and that's why if you're sensitive, you'll feel how it takes you. You simply have to ride to take the... It's like when, you know, a good surfer, he wants to take the rides, to take the waves. He knows, it's like, you don't have to explain to him, he just knows. It's like riding bicycles. The moment you know, you know. So it's like you try every year again and again and again. You know, this is Dalet and Hay of Aries, Taleh, whatever. The ride is different than the ride of Elul. It's different. It's going. It's another place that you're going. The same difference between a Virgo and an Aries. Only a different energy. When you understand the difference between the two, you know the difference of the energy. But it's not something to... You know, whatever we just explained, I said it many times, it's nothing to do with what really there is. I explained it once. It's the same thing. It's the same way that a plane, an airplane, to go from one city to another, needs to start with wheels. But the real work is to fly with the wings. When you learn, that's the wheels. You have to do work inside in order to learn to find the wings inside you and to take off. The learning is only the wheels. That nobody can do for you. You have to find the wheel. You have to find the wings to spread them out and to take off using the wheels. If you're trying to use just the wheels, try to take an airplane from Los Angeles to New York just using the wheels of the airplane, disaster. That's when you learn and you don't apply. Okay. Chodesh Tov.